Boker Tov.
We are continuing chapter 20 in Melachim Bet, and we are in the sagas of Chizkiah HaMelech. Chizkiah was a uniquely good king to the extent that even the Bamot he got rid of in his time. There is a Gemara the Peshat is that in chapter 20, in the beginning of chapter 20, Chizkiah gets very sick and he's about to die. So Chizkiah basically calls Yeshaya, and then Yeshaya basically tells him that, you know, you're going to die, you're not going to live. So he turns to the wall and he prays, and he says, please remember, Hashem, that I went before you with truth and with a complete heart, and I've done good in your eyes. And he cried a great cry, and this is one of like the lessons of Tefillah, that Chizkiah, apparently, according to the Gemara, said to Yeshaya, I have a tradition from my father's house that even as when the sword of the executioner is on your neck, you should still be praying, right? Meaning it's never over until it's over, right? So you should always pray. And he did that, and lo and behold, Yeshaya, as he's leaving, he gets a nevuah, go back to Chizkiah and say that you're going to live. And we looked into the Gemara that described that this whole sickness was because Chizkiah knew that his son was going to be an evil son, Menashe, which we're going to study about in the next chapter, and he did not want to have kids for that reason, and now Hashem was going to kill him for not doing the mitzvah of Peru Urvu. So Chizkiah then offered, what was it he offered? He said to Yeshaya, maybe I could marry your daughter, and then we will have, because of the mutual zechut, we will be able to, He said, which are mutual zechut, where we will be able to not have an evil son, right? Because if it's your daughter and me, then with the mutual zechut, I won't have my son. And then Yeshaya basically answered him, no, this is already done deal. The son is going to be evil. Okay, and I don't exactly know if he ends up marrying Yeshaya's daughter or not, but he does end up having he ends up getting better, right? And he does end up having a son, and the son ends up becoming evil. Okay, so that's all the backstory, which is a mixture of Psukim and the Gemara. Okay, the Gemara, I think, is in Berachot. Yeah, it's the Gemara in Berachot of Yud. Okay, and then there is a miracle that's done where Yeshaya takes a fig and he puts it on one of the blisters that were, I guess, part of his ailment, part of Chizkiah's ailment. And instead of causing the skin to dry out more, the fig actually heals the skin, which, according to Rashi, was a miracle, because it shouldn't have happened like that. I think it was Rashi. Again, I'm quoting Midrashim. I don't remember exactly where. I don't remember where they came from. But and then Chizkiah says, I want a sign. I want a sign that I'm going to get better in the third day. So he says, okay, fine. We have the sundial on the wall, and you could choose. It's either going to go forward extra fast, or it's going to go backwards. And he said, look, for it to go forward fast is not such a miracle. Like, that could happen where the shade encroaches faster than I'm expecting. But if the shade goes back on the sundial, that doesn't happen. So that would have to be a major miracle. So he says, let it go back. And then, lo and behold, the shade on the sundial goes back. And that's Chizkiah's proof that he's going to live. Again, as we said, according to the Chachamim, in the Midrash, this all happened 3 days before Sanherib's army was killed around Jerusalem. So it's like, as he's getting better from his illness, he also has the miracle of Sanherib's army dying as well. So then he was able to go to the house of God joyfully, because he's better from his ailment, and because Sanherib's army is all dead, and there is no enemy at the gate. Okay, so that's all what we did at the beginning of chapter 20. The end of chapter 20 is like the only negative story we have of Chizkiah, okay? According to the Chachamim, of course, we had a negative in that he tried not to have kids, right? Which was considered a negative. But according to the Psukim, what we're about to read is the only negative about Chizkiah, and that is when it became known that he was sick. There were kings, or there was a king that sent him like a gift And he took the emissary of the king and he showed them all of the wealth of the kingdom in like a kind of ostentatious way. And that was considered a flaw of Chizkiyahu. So we'll read about that. Ba'atai shalach berodach baladan ben baladan melech babel sefarim min chayel Chizkiyahu ki shamaki halach Chizkiyahu. In that time, Berodach Baladan ben Baladan, that's his name. This guy, Berodach Baladan, son of Baladan, king of Babel, sends an offering and Sfarim, I don't know exactly what the Sfarim.
Letters and gifts.
Letters and gifts to Chizkiyahu because he heard that he was sick. So it's interesting. I could read Rashi. It's interesting, Rashi, that connects this whole incident to the previous story. He says, until that day, nobody had ever gotten healed from the ailment that Chizkiyahu had. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, but how did he hear that Chizkiyahu got better? He was used, this guy, Berodach Baladan, he used to be awake or eat until 3 hours in the day and then would sleep until the ninth hour. I think meaning he would go to sleep late and he would wake up late, right? But he would typically not wake up after the ninth hour of the day. Fine? So then, this king, he gets up at 9 hours into the day, which is typically like towards the afternoon, right? I'm assuming, and it should be started getting darker, and he sees that it's night out, it's day out because the sun had to move back.
Yeah.
For the shade on the sundial to go backwards, the sun had to go back, and then. He says, "Amar atem inachtem oti lishon yom v'alayla. You let me sleep day, and then the following night you let me sleep as well. What, you're waking me up the following morning, right?" So he's getting very upset at them. Amar lo lo gamal galgal chama chazar. He said, "No, it's just that the sun moved back. We didn't wake you up at a different time. The sun moved back." Amar lahem umi achaziro, and he asked, "Who caused it to go back?" Amar lo elohav shel Chizkiyahu ki dito b'sikta. He said, "No, it was the God of Chizkiyahu." So then, this guy, he sees that that the sun is moving back for Chizkiyahu, so he's sending tributes to Chizkiyahu because of... Yeah, it's a fascinating midrash only because I don't understand what the point of it is. Like, all of the things about this...
It seems like he couldn't believe it was a... I mean, it says here something that, like, it was a test to Chizkiyahu to see how he would react to the sundial going back, and he believed it was a miracle, or would he take it out on his... servants or assistants that were there that were trying to explain to him that they didn't let him oversleep or something like that. I don't completely understand it personally.
Let's see if Radak says anything about it. Radak does clarify that they didn't send this tribute because he was sick. They sent it because they saw that he got better from the illness. Uh-huh. I mean, maybe that's one of the points of the Midrash, to point out that this tribute is because of their amazement at the fact that Chizkiyahu has healed from whatever ailment he had. Potentially. Okay, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayishma aleihem Chizkiyahu, and Chizkiyahu heard of these emissaries. Vayareihem et kol beit nechoto, and he shows them the entire house of his like splendorous area. את הכסף, את הזהב, את הבשמים, את שמן הטוב, את בית כליו, את כל אשר נמצא באוצרותיו. He showed them his silver, his gold, his spices, and his oils, and all the good oil, and all of the vessels that he had, and everything that was found in his storehouses. לא היה דבר אשר לא הראה חזקיהו בביתו ובכל ממשלתו. There was nothing that Chizkiyahu did not show these Bavel people in his house and in his whole kingdom. And this is not a good thing, right? He shouldn't have opened up his doors to some random Babel king like that and showed them all of this stuff that was in his house. Why is it considered so bad, by the way?
They're saying that they came to see who and how this miracle of adding 10 hours of the day was done.
Uh-huh.
And instead of them showing like the greatness of Hashem, he's showing them his personal wealth, I guess.
So could it be that maybe the whole midrash around the whole this guy Baladan, what's his name again? Birodach Baladan, being asleep, typically waking up in the afternoon, and then he wakes up and he sees it's morning, and he's like, "No, I'm supposed to be sleeping till the afternoon. Why did you let me sleep through the night?" And then he sends the tribute once he hears that it was a miracle done for Chizkiyahu. Maybe that's all part of, it's all part to explain why it was bad that Chizkiyahu showed them all the wealth of his kingdom. Mm-hmm. Because Chizkiyahu had someone who was already impressed by God and is coming to see the glory of God. And what do you show him instead? You show him the personal glory.
Yeah.
So Chizkiyahu a little bit, it seems like that's the point of the Midrash, to say, to cause you to realize that this could have been a great Kiddush Hashem opportunity that Chizkiyahu has now let slip. I think that's Pshat, honestly. And I think that may explain the Midrash very nicely.
It makes sense. It also says a lot of the visit was because of the miracle of how he defeated Sanhedrin and how the Babylonians didn't like him because they were vassal state of Babylonia.
Right, that explains the geopolitics of why.
There's a lot of geopolitics involved also. Right around that time.
That's for sure true. Like I'm assuming the Babylonians didn't like the Assyrians and were very excited that the god of Chizkiyahu killed all of the Assyrians. So now they're showing their gratitude and their excitement over Chizkiyahu as well.
So there's also that part of it.
So I think that's the point. I think the point is that the problem here is that Chizkiyahu is using all of the miracles of God as an opportunity for self-aggrandizement, when he could have been using it as an opportunity to make a Kiddush Hashem to the entire world.
Yeah.
You know, when they're coming out of their excitement over the acts of God, you don't show them your personal wealth. Show them the greatness of God. Okay. ויבוא ישעיהו הנביא אל המלך חזקיהו, ויאמר אליו, מה אמרו האנשים האלה, ומאין יבואו אליך? ויאמר חזקיהו, מארץ רחוקה באו מבבל. So Yeshayahu the Navi comes to Chizkiyahu and he says, what did these people say and where did they come from? And Chizkiyahu says they came from a far distant land. They came from Babel. Pasuk tetvav, vayomar mara u bevetecha. He said, what did they see in your house? Vayomar Chizkiyahu, kol asher bevetirau, ra'u. He said, everything in my house they saw. Lo hayad davar asher lo hiritim be'otzorotai. There was not one thing that I didn't show them in all of my... how do they translate be'otzorotai again? I always use the word storehouse, but there's a better word for it.
Just his house.
And all of my...
They saw everything in my house.
My house?
Show them all my treasuries. They call treasures.
Oh, the treasury. And all my treasuries. Okay. So Yeshayahu says to Chizkiyahu, now listen to the word of God that is response to your behavior. There will be days that come, that everything in your house, all that is in your house that your forefathers have gathered until this day will be taken to Babel. Lo yivater davar, amar Adonai. Nothing will be left in Jerusalem, says Hashem. So because you essentially lost the opportunity to do Kiddush Hashem to Babel, now all of the wealth that you showed them is one day going to be theirs. Because Babel, as we know, is going to end up becoming the empire that swallows up the Assyrian empire and is going to be responsible for exiling Yehuda. Okay? And then from your sons who come from you that you will have give birth to, they will take. And your sons will become eunuchs in the chambers of the king of Babel. Okay, we see this in the book of Daniel. The matter of God that you said is good. For at least in my days there will be peace. Meaning, it's thank you for the punishment that you're giving me is not too intense, because at least you're not saying that in my days it's going to happen. You're saying in the distant future this is all going to happen because of my sin.
There's an interesting footnote about what you were just talking about.
Yeah, go ahead.
Regarding the reason for the miracle, what it was meant to accomplish of turning the sun back. And this is from Malbim. And it was saying that this was on top of the miracle of Hashem defeating the Assyrians.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot of people from the northern kingdom actually moved back to Eretz Yisrael after they saw this miracle. According to Malbim, they moved back to Eretz Yisrael, to Chizkiyahu's kingdom. And by sending the king of Babylonia to... it was a way to say like, okay, Hashem did this one miracle with the Assyrians, his power is still great. It's not that it like, oh, he did this one miracle and his power diminished. It was showing like, oh, his power is everlasting. And it actually says here, Chizkiyahu would have been the Mashiach and the final redemption would have been set in motion if he went ahead and like, I don't know, that's what Malkin said. And Mira Kiddush Hashem saying that like, okay, like this also happened from the power of Hashem. Like Hashem's power is infinite. It's not limited to the one miracle of what happened to the Assyrians.
So that kind of goes to show what exactly the role of the Mashiach is to make a Kiddush Hashem for God in the world, right?
Yeah.
And if the representative of Hashem, if the king, even slightly starts to enjoy the power for the glory of the power, then he will lose his ability to be the Mashiach. So Chizkiyahu, with everything he did right, he loses his ability to be the Mashiach because of this one error of confusing what his role is, right? Of taking pleasure in the power and the glory of his kingdom. Let's finish last two psukim. So it's good so long as it's not going to happen in my day. That's okay. And the rest of the matters of Chizkiyahu and all of his strength, that what he did, the Berecha and the Te'ala, he made some waterworks like a pool and a
channel.
Like a channel that he was able to bring water into the city. They're written in the book of Devarim of Kings of Judah. And he died, and Menashe, his son, takes over in his stead. There was one more midrash that I wanted to.
That entire chapter was like Agadot and Midrashim.
Yeah, there's a lot here. Oh, there's one more Mamar Chazal I want to point out. So the Chachamim say that there are three places in which Borei Olam asks someone a question that he already knows the answer to, and the person didn't respond appropriately.
So
one is Cain, yeah. One is Bilam, and one is Chizkiyah.
Yeah.
Okay, one Cain, he says, "Where's your brother?" Of course, he knows his brother's dead. Why is Hashem asking? Okay, with Bilam, who are these people that came to you? Oh, they were the king of. Midian sent them to me. God already knows who they are. And three, Chizkiyahu, who are these people and what did you show them?
Yeah.
And of course, God knows the answer. It's
where
all
did they come from? What did these men say?
And he said that the reason they were wrong is that they all should have said,
of course, Yishayahu knows.
Hashem, sorry, like, we know you already know and we made a mistake and they should have done teshuvah on the spot, but they kind of continued the conversation
because he was very proud of what he did.
Not realizing that it's the whole point of the question is as a rebuke. Okay, all right. Baruch Adonai Adonam. Amen.